Scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalm 46, chapter. I'll be reading verses 1 and 2. Psalm 46, 1 and 2. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you've come our way, and certainly we welcome you back this evening. We are having ice cream after services, and I've been told that you get a special invitation because if you don't come, I heard that Dennis might eat all of it. I'm just joking, but certainly you are welcome back this evening. We welcome back each and every one. And we're certainly glad for the opportunities we have to be with one another, to worship God, and certainly to fellowship as we have opportunity. We're going to be looking at Psalm 46. If you turn your Bibles over there, Psalm 46. You know, not all Psalms are written by David, although many are, but some Psalms are written by other individuals. I'd like to look at Psalm 46. The idea we're going to look at is being still for the Lord. You know, Psalms is such a beautiful book. Certainly, we get some figurative language and different things. I mean, these were songs. These were to be sung. And so many powerful ideas are taken from them. And Psalm 46, I think, carries some very significant, powerful ideas that carry over to us, even in the New Testament, as we live and we serve the Lord. The writer of Psalm 46 is the sons of Korah. And certainly, we can look at that background, but I really just want to focus on the words themselves. A lot of people believe that Psalm 46 was written during a time of national crisis. And as we see the things described in Psalm 46, there are some major things that are going on. We see that things are perhaps going on with nature. Things are going on with nations. Things are going on in the world. And a lot of things that are going on. But as we look at Psalm 46, we're going to see that the writer really is portraying a confidence in God and protection during times of adversity and struggle. And certainly as we go throughout life, we are going to face adversity and we are going to face struggle. And so many of these ideas are so powerful and relate to us because we certainly serve the same God that the psalmist is writing about as we look. If we serve a God that has so much power, and if we serve a God that has so much power, that should lead to us being more still as we live on this plane of life. Let's look at Psalm 46. Let's look at those first three verses and what the psalmist writes. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. You know, here in the first three verses, I think what we see is we have a God that has power over nature. We have a God that is the creator of the universe, and he has power over such things, and when we consider the God that we serve, it should start to lead to our confidence that is going to lead to our stillness. We serve the creator of the universe, and we start to see, as the psalmist gets into the song here, we start to see this idea of protection. If you are under attack, if you are going through hardship, if you are going through adversity, maybe the first thing you would look for is some type of protection and security, and we have that when it comes to God. As we serve God, as children of God, as Christians, we understand that we serve the God of the universe. The child of God should have confidence in God, in the storms of life, in the adversities that we go through, in the trials and tribulations that we face. There are some certainties in life. There are some things that you are going to face. We, at some point, if the Lord doesn't come back, we will face death. We will face disease. We will face disaster. We will face discouragement. These are elements of life. And as we go through those times, we need to be focused on the God which we serve, the God over heaven, the God over nature. Certainly, we're going to see the confidence of the writer. There are three things in verse 1. It says, God is our refuge, our strength, and a very present help in trouble. You know, refuge is protection. God can protect us. Certainly, God can help us in relation to strength and a very present help in trouble. That phrase basically gives that idea that God is right on time with his help. When help is needed, God is certainly on the way, and help might not always come in the way that we expect or the way that we would desire, but as children of God, we have a God that will protect us, a God that will build us up and strengthen us, and a God that offers help. We serve a God that cares. And when we think of that, it should lead to our stillness as we go throughout life. You see the threefold strength that the songwriter gives us there, that God is our protection, our refuge, he is our strength, and he is our helper. Therefore, if we have such a God as this, if we have a God that will protect us, if we have a God that will build us up, if we have a God that will offer help, what should that lead us to in our lives? Well, in verse 2, the psalmist says exactly what the psalmist is thinking there. It says, therefore, we will not fear. There is a connection between our faith and our fear, I believe. The stronger our faith, I think the more our fears are reduced. And I know that we're human and we're not perfect in all respects, but when we dwell and we think about the God that we serve, that offers us protection, strength, and help, when we think of the God that we serve, that should lead us to a peace. That should lead us to a stillness as we serve God throughout our lives. It should lead us away from anxiety and worry and cares of the world and slowly walk us to peace and walk us to stillness. The God which we serve is powerful, and we certainly see that being described. As he makes that, he said, if God is going to protect me, if God is going to give me strength, if God is going to offer assistance, I will not fear. What a powerful idea that is, and phrasing. And then go from where it says, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Now, this could be apocalyptic language, figurative language. The Jews are very well known for it in their writings. Perhaps we are talking about real earthquakes. Perhaps we're just talking about significant events. I don't think it matters, because I think the idea behind it is that if God is with us, truly, who can be against us? Even if the world be moved, the Christian can be unmoved. The Christian can be still. The Christian can be at peace. Even though the whole world is in chaos all around. And I think the idea there is therefore we will not fear. The idea is if God is not with you, perhaps there is a reason to fear. But if God is with us, the creator of the universe, if we are offered protection, if we are offered strength, if we are offered help in the time of trouble, why would we be afraid? God, as we understand that God is our creator and has power over nature and offers these things to us, it should start leading to a confidence building within us that will lead us to a peace and a stillness as we go throughout our lives. There is no disaster that is sufficient to move God's child away unless we walk away. If we stay true to God, the God, the creator of the universe, certainly I think when we face trials in our life, it can lead us to a stillness and to a point where we see the psalmist say, we will not fear. We will not fear when death comes. We will not fear when we face disease. We will not fear when we face disaster. We will not fear when we face discouragement. I know that we're not perfect, but the psalmist is making a strong case here. If we serve a God that will protect us, if we serve a God that will strengthen us, if we serve a God that will help us, I will not fear because I know who's in my corner. Do you know who's in your corner? The God over nature. We know things bad are going to happen in this life. We know that bad things can happen to Christians. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 4, we see a tower falls. I mean, there are random things that happen. But what the psalmist, I think, really is working on is our confidence. If we serve such a God, there are many things we can face in this life, and we can be calm, we can be still, we can be at peace because of the God which we serve. I think it's the stillness we see in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. Daniel, the book, Daniel chapter 3, and I know that is their Babylonian names, not their Jewish names, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're in that situation where they're being asked to bow down to the statue that has been built. And in verses 17 through 18, it says this, if that is the case, our God, they're talking about, they did not bow to the statue. They're being threatened now to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, it says, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. and if you will deliver us from your hand, O king, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. We have these gentlemen here who have done right, and they have not bowed down to the statue. They've been called in. They say, hey, if you bow down, we won't throw you in the fiery furnace. But it's interesting what they say. They say, our God is able to deliver us. God is not going to necessarily deliver us from every physical trial, every physical disaster that happens. He can. He is able. And certainly I think it's not a sin to pray for such things to be delivered in physical disaster and physical calamity. But God is able to deliver us. And we can see in these men confidence. A confidence. Where does their confidence come from? Their confidence comes from their God. They know that God is able. We have a God that is able to deliver us, is able to protect us, and that should lead to our confidence as we go throughout life. I heard a definition of the difference between confidence and arrogance, and it's really stuck with me. Arrogance is when you say something and you can't back it up. Arrogance is when you say something and you can't back it up. Confidence is when you say something and you can back it up. That's confidence. You're just saying what's true. But when it comes to our Christian lives, it's far different. Because our Christian lives, we are not looking to ourselves. We're looking to God. When it comes to my deliverance, when it comes to me being saved, when it comes to those things, I don't look to self. I look to God. I look to God, and that's where my confidence comes from. That's where the boldness should come from. That's where our zeal should come from. That's where our passion should come from. It comes from God, because God is able to deliver us. He's the creator of all nature. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, since the creation of the world, whose invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God has created all things. We can clearly see that. If that is the God on our side, it should build our confidence as we go throughout this life. That's why the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though everything is going wrong and array and calamity is all around us. Although I don't agree with Thomas Stonewall Jackson, all his beliefs, he has a quote that has always stuck with me over the years. And he was credited with saying, I feel as safe on the battlefield as I do in bed. Now, I don't agree with all his beliefs, and certainly I could take one at a time and discuss those, but there's something in that statement, isn't there? When he says, I am as comfortable in bed as I am in the battlefield. Why would he say such a thing? I think it was because he read a lot of his Bible. He certainly knew his Bible. I think he came to some wrong ideas, but he definitely read his Bible, and I think he had this confidence. If I serve God, and I prepare, and I do what I can, we're not saying not to be cautious, we're not saying not to prepare, but eventually we get to a point in our lives, we have done all we can do on this physical plane, and we've got to hand it over to God. Cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. There's a point where we've done all we can, and we say, you know what? The rest I'm leaving to God. And the God that I serve is able. He is able to deliver us. And what a confidence that should have for a servant of God. That really, we're going to face a lot of different situations in our life. We're going to face death, certainly. We're going to face disease. We're going to face disaster. We're going to face discouragement. We're going to face these things. But if we're facing these things with God, the God that is our refuge, the God that is our strength, the God that is a very present help in trouble, that should do something with us, with the peace in our lives and the stillness in our lives. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be renewed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. In Psalm 127 and verse 2 it says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Where does our help come from? The God of nature. And that should do something to each and every child of God, a Christian, if we really believe that we serve the God of heaven, the God who made heaven and earth, that should do something in our lives. To make our steps a little bit more still as we go along life's way. You know, anxiety and worry many times gets the best of many of us. But if we can reflect and think on the God which we serve, the God that loves us, that asks us to cast our cares on Him, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, that should lead us to a special place. I'm not saying that all physical situations will work out for the Christian. I don't think that's really the promise of the Bible, but we do have a special promise. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's a spiritual promise. And when we think of God being our refuge and protection, yes, God can protect us from physical things. He is able to protect us from physical things. But really, the more important thing for the Christian is He offers spiritual protection in His body, in the church, in Jesus Christ. That spiritual protection, you cannot put a price tag on it. And when we realize that we are protected in the Lord's body, we're protected in the church, what a beautiful and wonderful thing that is. We're talking about the spiritual entity. We know that all things will work out for the faithful Christian. You understand that the faithful Christian cannot lose? We serve the God of heaven. Victory has been assured by Jesus Christ. The faithful Christian, emphasize again, the faithful Christian cannot lose. Do we forget that from time to time? Do we forget the God that we serve? You know, the faithful life does not always end the way that perhaps we would want it to end. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have the Hall of Fame of Faith. We have all of these individuals that are mentioned. We have Abraham, and we have Noah, and we have Joshua. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it works down through there, and it talks about great physical victories that happened because of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, it works through all of these individuals, and you get down to verse 32, and it starts talking about other physical victories that God accomplished. It says, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of. I like that phrase. Because we're reading in Hebrews chapter 11 all these individuals of faith, and we get this idea that I wish I had more time. I wish I could tell you of all the great things that have been accomplished through faith for the Lord. Now here's some physical victories that have happened. Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. Also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the wickedness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. These are physical victories. God can accomplish physical victories through faith, and we cannot lose sight of that. Because many times we get discouraged in our world and we say, what more can we do? Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Fight the good fight of faith, because God can accomplish a lot through a few that are faithful. And we see that all throughout the Bible. You know, we think of God many times using few to accomplish great, great things. But he goes on, and then he talks about individuals of faith that he didn't work out for in this physical plane of life. If we pick up in verse 36 there, it says, others had trials of mocking and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain by the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, and they should not be made perfect apart from us. You know, God can deliver physically, but that's not always the way it's going to work out. Some of the faithful of the Lord will face many physical things that are very hard. But through faith, through Jesus Christ, we have the victory, the spiritual victory, and that is such a great, great thing. But what a powerful first few verses of Psalm 46. We see that God has power over nature. And if God has power over nature and we're serving Him, what a confidence that should lead us to as we serve the Lord. In Psalm 27 and verse 1, it says, the Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's a good question. The Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? We think of Psalm 23, which was so often quoted. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. If God is with us, certainly that should lead to our confidence and our stillness. Let's look at verses 4 through 7. In the first few verses, we see that God has power over nature, and we are not going to fear such things. In verses 4 through 7, I think we're going to see that God has power over the nation. It says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, we have a transition, I think it's transitioning a little bit from nature into nation. And when we think of physical battle of nations and the time in which this was written, it was very kind of castle, fortress focused. And a lot of times you would have a fortress that you would defend, and one of the common tactics of the time is the army would surround you as a siege, and they'd cut off all your supplies and water. So warfare during that time was very kind of fortress-focused. I mean, they had battles in the battlefield. But what's being described in these verses is just talking about the power of nations, and nations certainly fight. And there's a fortress that's being described, a fortress, a refuge that God is with. And what's the first thing it says about God's people in this location? In verse 4, it says there's a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. God's fortress, God's city, is going to have a constant flow of blessings. Now, Jerusalem, I don't believe, has a river flowing to it, but I think the idea is blessing. Is God will bless his people. Even if the world surrounds God's people will still be blessed. Those blessings will still flow to God's people, and God is going to be with the city of God. It says the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High. It says God is in the midst of her. He shall not be moved. This fortress, God's people, will not be moved. Why? Because God is with them. God's people will not be moved. Why? Because God is with them. And certainly, in the Old Testament, we can think of all the people that rose up against Israel, and whenever God said, I'm with you, they were victorious time and time again. Did they lose battles? Yes. And many times when they lost those battles, it's because they were sinning, they weren't looking to God, they weren't asking God for assistance. But if God is with God's people, if God is in the midst of that fortress, that refuge, it shall not be moved. And God shall help those people. You know, I can't help but to think for a second, when we think of this Old Testament fortress that God is going to be with and God is going to be protect, I think of the New Testament. What could be an equivalent or what could be a parallel? God would protect his people in a fortress. Where does God protect his people? He protects them in the church. And we understand that we're added to the church. In Acts chapter 2, we see those individuals are baptized for the remission of sins. In Acts chapter 2, verses 47-48, we see those individuals are added to the church, not a physical building, but a spiritual entity. The body of Christ. And when we're in the body of Christ, we're protected. And that's where the spiritual blessings of God are. We think of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And those will not be cut off from the children of God, those who are in Christ. Even though the nations raised in verse 6, the nations are going to raise, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. If God is our protector, he will certainly protect us. If God is with us, we should not be moved. How many times are Christians, God's people, moved in this society and this culture? We should not be moved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. How many times the Lord's people get moved off where we should be standing and we should be fighting? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We should be resolved. We fight for the Lord. And if the Lord is with us, we should not be moved. We should be able to stand on the inspired word of God with confidence and move forward, accomplishing his will to the best of our ability. The nations are going to try to display their strength. They might surround the city of God. They might surround the church and try to intimidate. But God will certainly protect us, and if he doesn't deliver us in this life, certainly he will deliver us in the next life. But God has so much power. The nations are pathetic in relation to the power of God. I remember in the Old Testament we have King Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 19. King Hezekiah is surrounded by a force of 185,000. Talk about a hopeless situation. King Hezekiah is surrounded by an army of 185,000. And in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 35, we see that one angel takes care of all of those. If God before us, who can be against us? If God is with the church, if God is with his people, if he's in that fortress, it will not be moved. But we must not run away. We must stay with the God that we serve. God has power over nations. Certainly, he rules in the kingdoms of men. He has power over nature. And I think we see this, and I think as we look at this psalm, we understand that this would be sung, and we start to feel, I think we start to feel confident. If we have a God over nature, if we have a God over nations, certainly we can go out and do God's will, and we can be still, and we can do those things that are good and right. As we conclude in verse 7, it says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." That word refuge there is actually a different word. The word probably would be, and it's probably not translated this way because it's hard to decide, but the word actually means a high place that's unreachable. A high place that's unreachable. It says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our high place that cannot be reached. It cannot be touched. It will not be moved. It will stand." We have got to see that God has power over nature. He has power over nations, and that should build our confidence. As we go into the last few verses there, verses 8 through 11, it says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." In verses 8 to 11, I think that there's a little transition more to the world. I understand it's talking about nations. But in the past few verses, it was almost like it was talking about one nation. Now it's talking about all nations. The God that we serve has power over nature. He has power over nations, but He also has power over the world. That is the God that we serve. As we look in verse 8, it says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations of the earth." And certainly we understand that God will judge, and God has destroyed many wicked nations in the past, and we see a lot of that recorded in the Old Testament. It seems from verse 8 that God will even use violent means to bring peace. And when you think of the end of the world, that is kind of a violent means to bring peace. We think of 2 Peter chapter 3. But we can think all throughout time that God could use nations and through His providence, He could work things out the way that they needed to be worked out. But wicked nations will not stand. God certainly can. He has power over these things. And when we think about the end of the world, but also, we think of the physical world. God can end things in the physical world very quickly, but He can also end the whole world in general very quickly. Would you serve that God that has God power over the world, power over nations, power over nations? And as we kind of come to the conclusion of this psalm, as we see God's power really just sprinkled throughout the psalm, look at verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God." You know, I've thought about that quite a bit recently. Be still and know that I am God. If we as God's people understand the God that we serve, it should lead to stillness in our lives. It should lead to peace in our lives. And I understand that we're not perfect in all areas. Some of us are very strong in certain areas, and some of us are very weak in other areas. But when we look at Christianity as a whole, what the world has is anxiety and worry, and God is trying to take us to peace and stillness. Now the question is how peaceful and still are you? Where are you on the spectrum? Because we're not perfect individuals. Some of us probably worry a bit too much. We're way over here. We're worrying about things that really don't matter, that shouldn't be considered, that shouldn't be in our mind. And then God is trying to lead us slowly but surely to stillness and peace. If we serve the God of heaven, the God that has power over nations, if He's the God that has power over the world, we should be able to be still. Let me give you a situation in Exodus. In Exodus, Moses is leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses has went there with Aaron, and we've had the 10 plagues, and Moses is leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they're coming up on the Red Sea, and who's behind them? Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is coming with all of his chariots, and really a whole bunch of slaves do not have a chance against all of his chariots. And the people are panicking. They are panicking because the chariots are coming. They're worried. They see the world coming after them. And you know what Moses says? Moses, in Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 14, says, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall not see again, no more forever." He continues on, says a few more things. He says, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." The children, the people of God in the Old Testament, they see the world coming for them. They see all these chariots coming for them. And they are worried, they are anxious, and they say, look, they're coming. They're coming for us. And you know what Moses says? He says, do not be afraid, stand still. He says, see the salvation of God. Can we see the power of God? Can we see that God is on our side? Can we see God's people and have enough confidence in God and say, well, do your best. Bring your work. Bring death, bring disease, bring disaster, bring discouragement. I'm going to stand with the Lord, and I will be still because I have confidence in the Lord and the God which I serve. You know, I wonder about that sometimes. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, by work, we can deny God. It says they profess to know God, but by work, they deny Him. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. The idea is we say we know God, we're going to do that which He says, but yet our actions don't match what we're saying. Have you ever thought about your stillness in life? If we're not still, that we could actually not be reflecting on God the way that we should. As God's people, if we are not still, we can actually reflect negatively on God. Because people will look at us and say, man, look at this person. They're facing this stuff in life, and it looks like they're not handling it any better than I do. And I know we're not perfect, but what does Moses say to them as his chariots are coming? He said, do not be afraid, be still. See the salvation of the Lord. See the salvation of God. And certainly we need to do that when it comes to our life, is we need to be still. You know, you're going to have an opportunity in this life to be still and be an evangelist. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give it a thanks. What an answer. To anyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If a Christian has hope, if a Christian believes that there's a God in heaven that's over the world, He's over the nations, He's over nature, if we believe that, that should lead to stillness in our lives. You're going to get your chance. And I've got to see Christians get their chance. And man, they did amazing jobs. You're going to have a chance when death knocks on your door to be still. And people are going to go, why are you still? Because I'm confident in the God that I serve. When disease knocks on your door, cancer of yourself, cancer of a loved one, you're going to get a chance to be still and show the world who you serve. You're going to have a chance. When death comes, when disease comes, when discouragement comes, when disaster comes, you're going to have a chance to be still. You're going to get your chance. You're not even going to want the chance, but you're going to get it. I think of Job in Job 14 and verse 1. Of course, Job probably discouraged. He loses his wealth. He loses his health. He loses his family. I mean, losing any of those, going through a financial crisis, losing any family members, losing some of your health, any of those would be enough to challenge anyone. But he loses all of them all at once. In Job chapter 14 verse 1, he says, man's days are few and full of trouble. You're going to get your chance. You're going to get your chance to be still for the Lord, to show your confidence in the God of heaven. And when you get that chance, I pray that you take advantage of it. I pray when those situations come that you may say what the psalmist says. I pray when those situations come, I'm going to change the verse a little bit. I pray when those situations come, we'll say, God is my refuge and my strength and a very present help for me in trouble. In verse 10, be still and know that I'm God. You'll get your chance before this life is over to be still. Let us be still for the Lord and point to Him, the God that we love, the God that we are confident in. Perhaps this morning you need to become a New Testament Christian, or you need to praise the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can. But one special thing about it is when you become a New Testament Christian, it does start leading you to the peace that surpasses all understanding, and you can be still as you face the challenges of this life. If you're subject to invitation, please come as we stand as we sing.